So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Today we begin the program by celebrating our bald eagles here in Wisconsin. We have hundreds of wintering bald eagles congregating along open water areas of Wisconsin and the Mississippi River, and I think we have some of the best eagle viewing in the lower 48 states, and a number of towns are planning events this winter in Sauk City and Prairie du Sac on the Wisconsin, Prairie du Chien, and Cassville on the Mississippi River. They are all holding eagle-watching events. So we'll talk a little about those events, but talk with you about eagles as well, their status here in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere maybe for that matter. Certainly if you have questions about eagles, what they eat, how they live, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. And to help us out with the task, Jeb Barzin of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, Sauk City. Jeb, nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
And Randy Jerwitz. Randy's endangered resources biologist with the DNR in Madison. Randy, good to have you back as well.
Great to be here.
What's the status of our eagle population here in Wisconsin? Turn to you, Randy.
Well, the legal status is that they are still a protected wild animal. Mm-hmm. The good news is that they are no longer an endangered or threatened species. They've been recovered to the point where we took them off that endangered threatened species list in 1997. They're doing very, very well. A real success story for both the federal and state endangered species laws, a success story in terms of Wisconsin DNR management of this once rare species, and a success story for those people who contribute to the Endangered Resources Fund that funds the Endangered Species Program for the state of Wisconsin.
I would say that their social status is that they're pretty cool co-inhabitants of the lower Wisconsin River and the Mississippi.
Well, I tell you what, Ned, and I want to put a plug in for that Endangered Resources Fund because I contribute to that fund every year, and then the next year I use that as a deduction on my taxes. It works great. It's kind of painless. I usually have a few bucks coming back anyway from the government, so it's kind of a painless way to do it. And not only we should promote it, it not only helps the eagle, but other things as well.
Thousands, not only endangered and threatened species, but also all the non-game species, the state scientific natural areas program. It really helps make Wisconsin, you know, the biological gem that it is.
Mm-hmm. And I know many hunters who participate in that fund, but this is a great chance for those who don't hunt or not interested in hunting, but are. I think there are more people that are interested out there in just watching Jeb Barzin, and that helps. That fund helps them out.
Oh, you bet. The fund is a critical fund for natural resources in Wisconsin, much like hunting helps some non-hunting programs. The Endangered Resources Fund helps lots of species that people don't necessarily aren't that familiar with, but mm-hmm. are really important for Wisconsin.
For the community, sure. Well, I tell you what, the numbers have been growing. And how many did you say? I forgot. Now, did you say how many pairs we think we have here in the state?
Well, it's getting harder and harder to count them all. but this past year, and every year we break the record. Last year was 1,000, and this year we believe we are at 1,150 nesting pairs. Now, most of those, the majority of those, are up in the historic range of northern Wisconsin. Oneida County, Vilas County are some of the big counties with well over 100, pushing 150 pairs of birds mm-hmm. each. But the real success story in terms of the overall recovery of the species is the fact that they are pioneering down into southern Wisconsin. They are nesting along the Mississippi River all the way down to Grant County, and they are along the Wisconsin River from mm-hmm. from start to finish, from top to bottom. The Wisconsin River's got eagle nests all along it now.
And I've talked, I've mentioned this on the program in the past, but living on Lake Monona in Madison, we see there's been an eagle or two flying around Madison, which is kind of fun and nice to see as well.
Yeah, they're great. We do have a pair of ospreys that are nesting down on South Park Street between the lakes. Mm. We had that, I think that same pair that you're talking about, they started to play house a couple of years ago, and they built a nest on the south end of the lake. And then on Lower Mud Lake, they started building a nest down there too. So it's just a matter of time before we have eagles nesting right here within the city limits.
Let's go to Teresa in Brookfield. Teresa, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I had a hunting question for your guest.
Yeah.
On New Year's weekend, my husband and I and my son were at Baraboo in Devil's Lake, and we happened to watch about 15 minutes of a hunt. A bald eagle came down and was trying to get a little one duckling that was out in the lake. And I thought it would easily be able to get it, but it could not. The duckling seemed to always be able to dive under the water just in time, and it must have went far enough that the bird just couldn't get him. And it was quite fascinating to watch. And I guess I had a question, because I'd always see these pictures, like maybe of it snapping fish out of the water. So I wanted to know how difficult or can they take things out of the water, or how deep can they go?
Okay.
Well, eagles are very efficient predators, but we often take that idea and conceive of a super predator as a result, that they can get anything they want to whenever they want. And that part of the story is not really true, in that eagles have a difficult time. Most of their prey, when they're not dead, eagles are carrion feeders, so most of the prey when they're alive can easily avoid eagles for the most part. And so what you see is a fairly normal sort of thing, in that eagles will try and try and try to get something, and they often fail. But the other thing that's really quite interesting is that these eagles can often be resident in an area for a long period of time, and they pretty much know each other. When we watch the eagles in the Sauk Prairie area, and people can come out to the overlooks and watch this happen, you'll see eagles perched on the island, you'll see ducks swimming all around, and for the most part, they appear to ignore each other. But what I think really is the issue is that they know well, who is who and who's feeling sick or who's not feeling sick, and the second that status changes, then all of a sudden eagles will harass the heck out of one of those birds if they perceive that it's injured or in any way compromised. And all of a sudden, they'll really work hard to try and get it. But even then, a duck has a lot of means in order to escape, because it can keep diving under the water and preventing, using the water as cover, essentially, to prevent the eagle from catching it. Eagles won't dive into the water to catch a prey. They'll just try and snatch it out of the water. They can swim if they get dunked in the process, but they're not like a kingfisher that goes actually underwater to catch its prey.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. I saw an eagle swimming on a northern Wisconsin lake once. It was quite...
beautiful swimmers.
No, it was quite an experience. It looked worse than me when I'm in the water trying to swim. For gosh sakes, you had a story before the show started. Maybe you can repeat that one about an eagle that was taking a duck, though, that was successful.
Well, okay, so I just kind of gave you the general idea of what eagles will do. But any time that a biologist gives you a general idea of the way things are, animals will find a way to not read the book and do something different, which surprises you. And a long time ago, somebody called me when I was working on a wildlife information line and described this amazing situation on the St. Croix River, where they would feed ducks corn. And the woman described that an eagle traditionally would fly early in the morning up their residential street below the rooftops. And when it would get to their house, it would bank hard at 90 degrees, fly up and over the rooftop, scare all the ducks who were feeding on the corn on the other side, and snatch a duck right out of the air. And it's still a stunning description. I have no doubt it's true, but it's also a fairly rare event when that sort of... eagles can figure out how to take advantage of the situation in order to have an upper hand on their prey.
They're a pretty smart bird then, Randy.
They really are. And interestingly, this coming Saturday and Sunday afternoons, one of the talks that's going to be at the Eagle Days in Sauk City, we'll be talking about the myths and legends of raptors and these types of stories of, what... what can they do? What can't they do? What do they usually do, but, sometimes not? And on Saturday and Sunday, if people come out to the Eagle Days, we'll have the opportunity to see the Birds of Prey shows. There's one in the morning and there's one in the afternoon. Both days are both the same, so they just mirror each other. The morning show is the Raptors of Wisconsin, and the Raptor Center from the University of Minnesota will be there with live birds of prey, showing them to the audience, explaining to them, you know, what each of these raptors, what they are, how they specialize, what's the difference between osprey and eagles, for example. Mm-hmm. And then in the afternoon, the myths and legends presentation will talk about many of the things that Jeb was just talking about in terms of, you know, fact and fiction about birds of prey.
And when is this? What time is this then?
Well, the morning show is at 11 o'clock, and the afternoon show is at 3 o'clock.
So 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and this is at Sauk City?
Mm-hmm. Right. It'll be at the River Arts Center. There'll be signs there. Just come to Sauk City and follow the signs to the River Arts Center, and that's where the main program will be taking place.
Those are the Birds of Prey show, but there are programs going on all day, aren't they, Randy?
Yes, actually the all day long at the River Arts Center, beginning with a food court, kids activities. Once again, due to the kind contributions of the sponsors of the event, such as Alliant Energy, Ace Sauk Prairie, Culver's, Maestra's restaurants. It's also a good place just to come to eat. That's why people say, well, why do you keep doing
that's
this?
That's what the Eagles think too, isn't it?
And it works for them, and it works for me, and it works for, you know, lots of people. This is the 20th year anniversary, and, you know, the whole Sauk Prairie area is a great place to come and visit these wonderful little restaurants that they have there. You know, my personal favorite, of course, is you know, the Mecca, the original Culver's restaurant.
I always thought you liked the gizzard chad on the river.
No, that's the Eagles. That's the other bald people, other bald animals in town. Eagle watching tours, that's the other thing. Is that just come to town, we'll put you on a bus for free and shuttle you around to show you whatever eagles Jeb can drum up and have there in town, by the dam, by the overlooks. So free shuttle tours, a wonderful presentation on wildlife photography. We see a lot of people out there, you know, taking pictures of this, taking pictures of that. If they go to the wildlife photography presentation by Bill Peelsticker, they'll actually find out how to take good pictures rather than just taking pictures. Lots of different things. Wollersheim Winery, of course, is still going to have their world-famous wine tasting. A lot of different things all day long, again, based at the River Arts Center in Sauk Prairie.
And so there's no best time to come, or Jeb, or just come anytime.
Well, as far as the Eagle Days events, coming anytime is quite good. What day? When do events get started, Randy?
8 o'clock. Doors open at 8. Mm-hmm.
And they go all the way until?
Well, there's a banquet at 6 o'clock, and then at 7:30 on Saturday night only, we've got a very special, again, 20th anniversary special presentation, Laughing with the Animals, by David Stokes. He's a wildlife humorist. It's going to be a heck of a program. It's only $5 for adults. Kids under 12 are free. And again, that's at the River Arts Center. So actually, it goes all day long.
Oh, that's wonderful. I tell you what, if you want to have a fun weekend with the family, this is it's a great way to do it, is to get out there to Sauk City and attend the Bald Eagle Days. And if you have some questions about the event, or if you have some questions about eagles, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking eagles and eagle days here in Wisconsin with our guests, Jeb Barzin of the Fray Bluff Eagle Council, Sauk City, and Randy Jurewitz, endangered resources biologist with the Department of Natural Resources in Madison, as we talk eagles with them. And give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. Doug from Columbia, Missouri is with us. Hi, Doug.
I just was flipping channels the other night, and a certain conservative talk show channel, I won't mention, they were talking about bringing back DDT because it was a liberal conspiracy to ban DDT back in the 50s. And I was just wondering what your guest had to say about that.
Well, Randy, you want to start on that?
Well, I'm very proud of the fact that Wisconsin was the first state in the country to ban DDT, and it had nothing to do with political affiliation. DDT, you know, poisons animals and people, regardless of their political stance. So
it's an equal opportunity toxin.
Yeah, exactly. And it clearly was shown by scientists. Again, no matter what their political affiliation, scientists, that it blocks the metabolism of calcium within the female eagles. They were, therefore, the eggs that they were laying were very, very thin compared to normal pre-DDT eggs. Those eggs were being broken when they were tried to be incubated, and there was virtually no reproduction of bald eagles in Wisconsin and many other species, like peregrine falcons, for example, for many years in the 50s and 60s. And then ever since DDT was banned, the population has responded incredibly with an increase from, in 1973, we had 108 eagle nests in the state. And again, I mentioned last year we were up to 1,150. It's a dramatic and steady increase. All of it, all the scientific information leads to the fact that this was due primarily to the cleaning up of the environment.
So we're not going to be seeing DDT in Wisconsin in the distant or long future. Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Every time I come through Wisconsin, I look forward to listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. I think it's the best in the country.
Holy Thank cow. You, Doug.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it very much. John in Winter, Wisconsin. We go to you next. Hi, John.
Hi.
Is that a pun? Are you just acknowledging the fact that Wisconsin finally is in winter?
No, it's Winter, Wisconsin. I was just going to let you guys know, they're pretty resourceful, them eagles. They ice fishing on Lake North of here, and, you know, we see a couple flags go up. Well, I ran out and grabbed the one flag and pulled out a nice walleye. And then I ran over to the next flag, and I'm just pulling that out, and I look over, and here's this eagle landing, and he's taking my fish. Yeah, I'm yelling, and he had to get a little steam going before he could get up in the air with that big old fish, you know. But, yeah, and then at the end of the day, we had some minnows left, and I saw the eagle looking at us. Now, it was a ways away, but I thought, well, here, I'll see if he'll take a minnow. And I kind of called to him, and I held the minnow up, and I threw it out. And, he saw it. He come down, flying down, and he made sure he landed facing us, and he took the minnow, and then this time he stayed closer to see if we had any left. Yeah.
Great story, John. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
One of the fun things about biology is there's never a point that you get where you know everything, and always can be surprised and learn.
Thanks, John. Great area, Winter. I love Lake Winter. It's a great musky lake, as a matter of fact, and some pretty good bass fishing there as well.
You heard that on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Got a lot of musky there. Oh, Bob in Fox Lake, it's your turn now. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. I would just like to comment, I have a place on the river on the Mississippi below La Crosse, Wisconsin, and I see quite a few eagles. However, in the last few years, I see less and less, you know, in the summer and fall. I just want to comment, I also have a farm in Buffalo County, and there are many, many, many coops, chicken coops, that hold, you know, 6,000 to 12,000 chickens. Also, these chickens, a lot of times, they're spread on the land around there. And many times you can see dozens and dozens and dozens of eagles near these coops feeding on the chickens in the fields. I just wonder how many people really know, you know, if you want to see eagles, I've seen as many as 50, 60, 70 in one field near Arcadia, you know, Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh.
Alpha County. And I just wonder if the DNR or anybody has ever addressed the difference of being predominantly scavengers, if that has helped increase the populations. Also, addressing a problem where there might be antibiotics in the chickens, which the eagles eat, if that's a detriment or a positive thing for the eagles and their population increase here in Wisconsin.
All right, thanks for calling. Randy Jerwitz, what do you think?
Well, having a winter food supply is important. I think it has been important in the recovery of eagles throughout the Midwest here, in so much as that they did not have to go any further south and migrate farther than they have to and use more and more energy up, you know, going south to find open water and food supplies, and then again make the long trip back. So it's very fortunate here in Wisconsin that we have, you know, dams along the Mississippi River, dams along the Wisconsin River, at least in terms of you know, feeding bald eagles and keeping that water open during, you know, normal winters, and giving them a food supply. The alternative to that, of course, is these very opportunistic situations where they can feed on, you know, mm-hmm. these dead chickens spread out in this field or dead piglets, you know, in that mm-hmm. field. And it also helps them vary their food supply. Now, mm-hmm. when those other things are available, as they have been with when there isn't any snow cover and those ranchers are able to get out in the fields and spread the, you know, the manure and dead animal mm-hmm. mixture that they do, those eagles, as this guy, as Bob observed here, they are on it.
Yeah.
They are right on it. I can't help but think that they're sitting there sitting, you know, well, what are we going to have for breakfast? Well, let's have fish. Okay, what do we have for lunch? Well, let's have fish. What do we have for supper? Well, let's have fish. And then they get the chance to have chicken or pork, and mm-hmm. and they do. They really head out to it. So it, I think it's helped them in terms of their nutritional balance, the balance in their diet, as well as, you know, giving them you know, some food supply here farther north in the range and not having to fly south.
Well, there. One of the things that you also asked about was whether or not antibiotics in the chickens or other things that are put out on the field might be of harm to eagles. And the reality is we don't know enough mm-hmm. about that to answer it. I certainly don't, but I'm not aware of that much information that's available to be able to really evaluate that situation fully. And I think, you know, it brings up, an important issue, because we talked about DDT earlier, and the recovery of the eagles has been a spectacular thing. But wildlife success stories are not one-way streets, and we have to always be willing to work and address new issues as they come up to keep wildlife success stories just that, successful. And just because an animal population increases doesn't mean that it's then impervious to any other kind of disturbance or thing that can cause it to start slipping again. And so we need to be kind of always engaged sufficiently to deal with new issues as they come up. And what is in the foods of the birds that they eat can be an important issue. We certainly have worries about birds in the Great Lakes still picking up contaminants in those regions and that affecting their breeding productivity. But we don't have very much information at all about what eagles come in contact with in terms of toxins on winter areas.
Hmm. Thanks again, Bob, for calling. Appreciate it. And we'll turn to Bill in Fort Atkinson next. Bill, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, I'm still on a cell phone. My apologies. I'm in a bad area if I cut out. This question is about suspected eagle that we sighted actually in Lake Mills in Jefferson County. It was about 2 feet from head to tail, and it was dining on a catch of a rabbit out in the yard. And it flew away when about three or four people came to look at it from about 20 feet away, but came back the next day to feast on its prey. So it was a gray with a white breast, and it had very feathery, thick legs. Some of us thought it was an eagle, but others thought it was impossible and that it might be some species of hawk. What do you think?
Well, Jeb Barzin, what do you think? It's not a complete description, but...
well, there are a number of things that it could be. It could be a red-tailed hawk, and feeding in a yard on a rabbit kind of is more indicative of what a red-tailed hawk might do than a bald eagle. A bald eagle is about 2 feet, but people often can underestimate the size or overestimate the size of the bird that they're looking at. Immature bald eagle would have a white breast, but so does a red-tailed hawk. The grayish color, neither of them really are gray. No. They're more of a mottled brown. But those would be my guesses. The grayer raptors would not likely be feeding on that unless you had a barred owl who was feeding on it, and they're uniformly gray but don't have a white breast. So basically, I'm taking way too long to say I don't know.
But it's more likely a red-tailed hawk.
Okay, can I get a word in? I took a couple pictures of it with a digital camera, if anybody's got an email that would like to try to identify it. But my pictures weren't great. They were okay pictures.
Well, then you can send the pictures to me, since Randy is really focusing on getting people to take great pictures now. My email is jeb@savingcranes.org. That's one word in plural. And Jeb is J-E-B, as in boy.
Jeb@savingcranes.org.
Org. Okay. For the other thing I do for my living.
Yes.
I'll zap out an email with a couple pictures on it.
Sure. I'll take a look, and hopefully I'll be more informative than saying I don't know.
Thanks, Bill.
I don't think I underestimated the size, though. It was, or overestimated the size. It was larger than any hawk that we've got around here.
Oh, okay. Well, could be an eagle. We'll find out.
A bald eagle, though.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Cindy in Duluth, Minnesota next. Cindy, hi to you.
Hi. I have a quick question.
Yes.
If the eagles are so abundant now and becoming less protected, will it still be illegal to have possession of feathers and things? I live in frequent northern Wisconsin. And they are sometimes found floating on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if we pick them up, if that's still considered illegal.
Mm-hmm. Randy Jermitz?
Yes, it is. And due to several laws, because not only are they, okay, so they've been delisted off the endangered species list, and the Fish and Wildlife Service, the federal government, is working on delisting them off the federal list. They are still federally a threatened species in the state. But even after they're removed from the federal threatened species list, they will still be protected by the law that actually preceded the Endangered Species Act, the Bald Eagle Protection Act, or the Eagle Act. And that gives them protection. And as a matter of fact, most all bird feathers, except for the game species, like, you know, ducks and grouse and turkeys, all the migratory birds, cardinals, blue jays, robins, all of those are protected by the Migratory Bird Act, and that act also prohibits people from even picking up those feathers from those species. So
you're out of luck.
Yeah.
You're out of luck when it comes to keeping the feathers, Cindy, unless you want to break the law.
Oh, no, that's very interesting, because we have, you know, picked them up, hummingbird feathers, flicker feathers, things like that, and we do try and be law-abiding.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, technically that is against the law, because once you get the feathers, it's hard to tell. It's impossible, you know, to tell whether that animal was, you know, was killed on purpose to get the feathers plucked, or whether it was indeed, you know, just innocently, you know, picked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yep, thanks very much.
And on to Gary in Minocqua. Hi, Gary.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm ice fishing up on Trout Lake and for whitefish. And as most ice fishermen know, that the eagles are very take advantage of ice fishermen. Mm-hmm. For any small fish that are thrown aside. And last year in the spring, and on Trout Lake, there's about 4 or 5 pairs, and they'll sit right around you about 50 yards, 100 yards away. But I caught this one whitefish. It was about 20 inches, and it was right behind me, where I threw it right behind me, And all of a sudden I hear this noise, and I turn around, and this eagle had picked this 20-inch whitefish. And he with his momentum, he got off the ways with it, but then he couldn't get up. He kept going across the lake, going back down, and then getting back up. He eventually got off the lake, but that was one brave eagle that day, because he came within 3 or 4 feet of me.
Oh,
he must have been very hungry.
Yeah. One thing that I would encourage fishermen, if you're not using alternatives to lead, it'd be really important to check your fish to make sure there's no lead attached to them, because lead poisoning is still an important source of mortality for eagles, and they might eat a lead weight or things like that, or a lead part of a hook inadvertently, and that's enough to kill them. And so you would want to be really careful to make sure that the fish, whatever distance it is from you, has been stripped of its lead, if you can do that.
Well, that was the only fish I caught that day, too. It was a bummer.
Well, your contributions to the Endangered Species Fund, and or at least the bald eagles, is appreciated.
Thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Good story. Keith in Port Edwards, it's your turn now. Hi.
Yes, thank you very much. I went to a graduation in December in La Crosse approximately 7 years ago, and under the interstate bridge they had ice and flowing water, and I counted approximately 150 eagles. It was almost like a rookery. They were on that ice, and they were picking up fish. It's kind of funny because of how those birds hop, but I just was amazed. So I don't know if that's still that condition in December, but I'd like you to comment on that.
Yeah. Randy?
Well, it comes and goes, again, depending upon winter. And, you know, since we've had winter for about a week now here in Wisconsin, and some of the other backwater areas are freezing over, some of the fields are being covered over with snow, and some of those alternative food sources that we were talking about earlier in the show are now covered with snow. We believe that these concentration sites are going to become full of eagles in the next couple weeks, and hopefully by this weekend, when this whole series of Eagle Days events here in Wisconsin, the Cassville, the Prairie du Chien, and the Sauk Prairie eagle watching events take place.
I think there are two points, you know, that I think are really interesting that you're raising, and one is that in winter, people often think of eagles being like nesting birds, and that they have the same place that they come back to every year, and that's true, but it's true on a very broad basis, and in winter, eagles don't have territories, though they do come back to the same area year after year. It's a very dynamic kind of situation. So they'll move to wherever they can find food. And if food is concentrated, they'll be concentrated. Or if access to food is concentrated, they'll be concentrated. So in the area where you saw 150 eagles, you might have seen two the week prior or the week afterwards, depending upon what conditions were like. So as ice forms or as it melts, as food gets concentrated on agricultural areas, as you heard earlier, birds can concentrate. So it's a very, very dynamic a situation. I think people often forget that. The other kind of human social part of that is that when you set Eagle Days to occur on two particular days during a year, there's not a guarantee necessarily that there will be an abundance of eagles sitting in that area at that weekend. Now, this year, the winter is looking really good, and we'll probably have really good viewing opportunities for eagles. But another way that we kind of hedge our bets with the weather that's around is we schedule and have bus tours every Saturday leaving from the Cedarberry Inn, which is in Sauk City, at 10 o'clock. And so people can come, and often do, come for eagle watching throughout the winter. And so Eagle Days is a great event where both eagles and birds are, or both eagles and people are concentrating in the area. But there's actually eagle watching that occurs throughout the whole winter, because you never know just when that perfect situation is going to occur, and you have birds in really high numbers very close to viewing areas.
And we should go back again. I want to make sure that we re-inform about Eagle Watching Days, because it's coming up this weekend, and talk a little more about that again.
Well, this weekend is the first of the series, because this weekend is in the Sauk Prairie area. There's also eagle watching days in Cassville and also Prairie du Chien on into the end of January and early February. But this weekend is the first opportunity for people to come out, really enjoy themselves with a variety of different activities, not just standing outside freezing, watching bald eagles. But besides that, or in addition to that, if they come to Prairie du Chien area, excuse me.
Sauk Prairie area. How about that?
Thank you. Are you from there? How many times? 20 years I've been doing this? Sauk Prairie area. It starts out 8 o'clock in the morning at the River Arts Center, continues all day long. There's kids' activities, face painting, button making. There'll be storytelling. There's tours, the free bus tours that will take people around town to show them the eagles, and they don't have to drive themselves. And if they don't want to get out of the bus, they don't even have to get out of the bus. Presentations on wildlife photography, live birds of prey shows. The morning show is going to be a general talk about raptors in Wisconsin. The afternoon show is myths and legends. These are going to be put on by the Raptor Center from the University of Minnesota. During the middle of the day, we're going to have a story told, The Eagle Catcher. And this will be a story told by a person who's portraying a Wisconsin River fur trader. This is new this year, first time this year. And then at night, we'll have a live presentation, Laughing with the Animals, by wildlife humorist David Stokes. So that's all Saturday. It's going to be a great time. Pretty much the same program on Sunday. Same eagles will be present out on Eagle Island. We just won't have the evening presentation. So lots of different things to do. Just get out to the Sauk Prairie area, follow the signs, and we'll direct you to the River Arts Center.
Plenty of parking and all that for people once they drive.
Free parking, free presentations, free bus tours, free birds of prey shows.
Well, free Randy.
Can't get much freer than that. Well, you have to pay for your food. That's about it.
You just pay for your food, and the food that's available in the Sauk Prairie area, you'll be glad to pay for.
All right. Well, guys, it's always a pleasure, and every one of our lines is still filled, but we're out of time, and I thank you so much for being with us today. And I'm going to try and get Renee and Emily at least out to Eagle Watching Days on Saturday. Probably first thing Saturday morning we'll get out there and see if we can see some eagles and eat some of that good food and have and attend some of those presentations. Because I'm even for a 3-year-old, I have a 3-year-old at home. She'll have get a pretty good kick out of that program at 10 o'clock.
Well, the classic statement that we've had at the Overlook when a 3 to 5-year-old sees an eagle for the first time through a spotting scope is, "Dad, that bird winked at me."
Well, I'll see if I can get that rise out of Emily as well. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Jeb Barzin of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, Sauk City, also of the International Crane Foundation, of course, and Randy Jurowitz of he's the endangered resources biologist with the Department of Natural Resources in Madison. Fun talking about eagles, and certainly get out to Eagle Watching Days. I should mention, Bald Eagle Days will be held in Cassville on the Mississippi on January 27th and 28th. Randy had mentioned that. Those are the dates for that event. And then Bald Eagle Appreciation Day will be held in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, February 3rd. But for this weekend, Sauk City, that's the place to be if you want to see some eagles and have a great time. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Harriet Brown, editor of Wisconsin Trails Magazine. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.